Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Christians, give thanks that the Son of God came into the world to save humanity. Jesus Christ inspires us to love one another with hearts full of generosity and grace.
And as a Catholic, I resent your using the word hate in a sentence that addresses me. I don't hate anyone. I was raised in a way that is full, a heart full of love, and always prayed for the president.
Adoption is an institution that seeks to meet the needs of children. But IVF, reproductive technology, surrogacy is a market that is designed to meet the desires of adults.
I have heard people who teach seeker-driven methodology talk about the Bible in such a disparaging way that the only conclusion that you can come up with is that the Bible is an impediment to basically preaching the gospel and bringing people to faith in Christ.
Families putting up their manger scenes from the outdoor nativity store. Love issues, etc.
The headline from The Hill, LGBTQ advocates slam Buttigieg for past history with Salvation Army. What in the world did Pete Buttigieg do with the Salvation Army in the past? It appears on several occasions he rang bells for them, part of a political campaign, part of raising money in a competition with a nearby town to raise money for the Salvation Army. And that has the ire of the LGBTQ advocates fired up yet again. It doesn't matter that Pete Buttigieg is a gay man himself and that he adheres assiduously to the LGBTQ agenda and checks all the boxes for them. He rang a bell for the Salvation Army. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, December the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. In the first hour of the program, we'll talk with Rich Lowry, editor of National Review, about LGBTQ outrage over Pete Buttigieg and the Salvation Army. Then we'll talk liberals and marriage with Ross Douthat, op-ed columnist for the New York Times since 2009. An hour from now, we'll look forward to the third Sunday in Advent, talking with Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, about messengers sent from John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11. Joining us to discuss LGBTQ outrage over Pete Buttigieg and the Salvation Army, Rich Lowry, editor of National Review, commentator for the Fox News Channel, and author of a recent column titled The Disgraceful Campaign Against the Salvation Army. Rich, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Many people would have thought that Pete Buttigieg, being a gay man, a progressive in probably the very, very cutting-edge way, would be immune from this kind of criticism that he's gotten over ringing bells for the Salvation Army.
Yeah, well, there are a couple things. One is the practical politics, which is that Buttigieg, last several months, has shifted into the relatively, and I underline relatively, a moderate lane in the Democratic Party and has been subject in recent weeks to a series of woke attacks. This is the most ridiculous of them. Two, more deep level, when the left sets its sights on these institutions the way it has with the Salvation Army, there's no immunity for anyone. So that he is a gay man himself does not provide any cover for the left. It's just a sign of his false consciousness, which makes the offense, alleged offense, if anything, even worse.
Tell us about the Salvation Army, what it is that people probably need to know delving into this story.
Well, it's one, as we all know, it's a hugely important institution. It's a religious denomination, started in Britain, hopped over here, became hugely successful here, and is in more than 130 countries. And we all know it from those iconic kettles where you have people ringing bells, you know, outside of malls and other public places, and raising, you know, $140 million a year. You know, that's devoted to shelters, to feeding and clothing the needy. So this is one of the worthiest institutions in our civic life. And the problem for the left is it has a traditional Christian view of sexual morality, including traditional view of homosexuality, and believes that in traditional marriage, and that no one should have sex outside of marriage. And this appropriately, this view forms its rules for leaders of the institution, and then also to some extent informs how it serves the community. Although a lot of the charges about alleged transphobia and things are based on either urban legends or on things that practices that most people wouldn't be outraged by. For instance, you know, if a transgender person comes and their birth gender is male or female, they'll be assigned to a shelter, say, of their birth gender. But for the left, that is some basically the equivalent of a human rights abuse. So the case against the Salvation Army is extremely thin, but that doesn't stop anyone.
And then by extension or by transfer, anyone associating themselves with the Salvation Army is of equal guilt in the eyes of what you call the woke left-wing buzzsaw.
Yeah, I mean, it's like literally Pete Buttigieg was caught in compromising photos from 2017. Because there are a couple of photos of him, you know, him cheerfully ringing a bell. And I'm sure Pete Buttigieg, you know, he does. He disagrees with their interpretation of Scripture on these questions. But even if you do, in the balance, the scheme of things, obviously this is an organization that whatever its alleged sins or disagreements you have on questions of doctrine does an immense amount of good for people of all races and creeds in this country. So it's just insane that you can't stand there for 12 hours. He wasn't staying there for 12 hours himself, but he was part of a so-called ring-off between the town of South Bend and a neighboring town in Indiana, where city officials and figures would ring the bell for 12 hours, and they'll see who could raise more money. What rational person possibly could object to that? But we don't live in a rational world.
What calculus has Pete Buttigieg apparently been able to make in order to say, hey, I'm a gay man, I'm all for the LGBTQ agenda, but I can still ring a bell for the Salvation Army?
Well, I would imagine in 2017, it wasn't much of a calculus. I mean, now he'd probably have to think about it. And I imagine now, given where he's positioned in the Democratic race, he'd go and do it again. Because one thing we've learned from the persistence of Joe Biden's strength in the primaries, despite all his foibles and poor performance, is Twitter is not a good indicator where most Democrats are, especially the Democrats that Buttigieg wants to win. So if you were calculating about it now, I think you'd still do it. But just even 2 years ago, things moved so fast in the cultural war, I don't think you would have even thought there was anything, possibly any objection to ringing a Salvation Army bell.
Someone might ask, is the woke buzzsaw, does it only exist on the Twitter platform? Does it actually have an existence out there in the real world where it can affect things?
I think it does. You know, people get fired. Look at Chick-fil-A. Their philanthropy now looks different than it would have several years ago because they have been the target, including the Salvation Army. They dropped the Salvation Army under criticism. So it's a relatively small faction of America, but it has a loud megaphone. It oftentimes has corporate America, you know, and elements of our governing elite on its side. And it can destroy people in their careers. So I wish it were just Twitter. Unfortunately, it has more power than just that.
Well, that raises the question of how the woke buzzsaw has so much power, especially in corporate boardrooms. We'll get an answer to that question with Rich Lowry, editor of National Review, next. If you're looking for a Christmas gift for a child, grandchild, or godchild ages 2 through 7, purchase the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, Angel, Angel, What Do You See? Follow Mary and Joseph, the donkey, the innkeeper, and the shepherds to discover that this special baby is the Savior, born for you and me. Learn more about Angel, Angel, What Do You See? By calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or at issuesetc.org. Angel, Angel, What Do You See?
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or your church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at outdoornativitystore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, outdoornativitystore.com. outdoornativitystore.com.
Choir with the Advent hymn, Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates, playing right now at our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Listen anytime, anywhere at lutheranpublicradio.org and on the LPR mobile app. Sacred music for the Advent and Christmas seasons, Lutheran Public Radio. We're talking about LGBTQ outrage over Pete Buttigieg and the Salvation Army. Rich Lowry, editor of National Review, is our guest. He's a commentator for the Fox News Channel and author of a recent column titled The Disgraceful Campaign Against the Salvation Army. Rich, before the break, you mentioned how the woke buzzsaw, as you call it, has found its way even into corporate boardrooms. How has this happened?
Well, they're all scared. And it takes some courage to stand up to this leftist mob, and it takes also some grounding, you know, in common sense and in reason. And if you're kind of unmoored and you're don't want to become controversial, and you know, a lot of tweets against you if you're a corporation might be considered unwelcome, even if it's not, you know, the biggest movement against you in the world. So why risk it? Why bother? Just go with the flow. And I think that's a huge element of what happens in a lot of these cases.
Should the Biden, Warren, and Sanders campaigns be scouring their archives for pictures of their candidates ringing bells?
I think yes. If they want to have, I think one thing Democrats have misunderstood in the Trump era, I think there is a lot of room for the party to go left on economics, and it has, you know, in the case of Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, to an insane extent. But they need to give way, to move a little to the center, at least on some cultural issues, and at least on some culturally symbolic things. So I think it would have been a shrewd play, you know, for Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren to say, you know what, you think there's something wrong with this? You're wrong. this is the best of America, and damn it, I'm going to ring a bell.
Do you expect any of them to do that, to have that insight?
No.
Why not?
They've had the exact opposite insight. Trump has driven them even further left on cultural matters as well. You've seen it on immigration. You've seen it on guns. Beto O'Rourke, during his misbegotten turn in the Democratic primaries, sort of exemplified this radicalism. He was willing to say things other candidates aren't yet, but, you know, we get applause for saying that we should end the tax exemption for churches, or that we should tear down walls, or we should go confiscate guns. But that clearly is where the emotional center of gravity is in the Democratic Party now.
But after the primaries, these candidates are going to have to face a broad electorate, many of whom throw a dollar into the kettle as they leave Walmart every Saturday afternoon.
Of course, yeah. And this is why Biden, who is much further left than he used to be, looks on paper like the strongest candidate against Trump, because he is the least woke. He is the most old school of these Democratic candidates. I think if you put this controversy, Buttigieg controversy, to him, the Salvation Army controversy, he would scoff, because he does have that kind of old school instinct that's increasingly being eroded in the Democratic Party.
How would you respond to someone who says, look, what we're experiencing here, as we have in the past in American politics and society, is momentary insanity? Some might say it's represented by Trump. Some might say it's represented by the woke movement, but it will pass. It doesn't represent a permanent feature. It's a bug. It's not a feature of our political life permanently. What would you say to that?
Well, I hope it's right. I think that might be true of some of the trans insanity, but the broader movement, I think, is here to stay. And even if you look at the 60s and 70s radicalism as an analog, you know, it receded in the 80s. There was a political conservative who won, you know, very shortly after these forces became on the ascendant in the Democratic Party. But it's a question how much that mattered, because these forces deeply affected our institutions, including, most importantly, academia, and affected the culture in a way that runs much deeper, unfortunately, than any given presidential election. So I fear, even though this movement is crazy, even though there might be a political backlash against it, and there has been, you know, that's part of the reason Trump got elected, that it will continue for the foreseeable future and have a huge impact on our institutions.
What does it say that, at least with a few of our freshman lawmakers, there have been kind of woke apostles, Ocasio-Cortez and others, actually elected to office?
Yeah, so that's a change. You know, it was sort of Bernie Sanders alone as a self-described socialist. Now he's got reinforcement, still, you know, not still a minority within the Democratic Party, but a sign of where things are headed. So the party is further left than it's ever been, and the relative moderates, Joe Biden and Pete Buttigieg, are to the left of where any moderate in the Democratic Party would have been before, and even where kind of the average kind of mean liberal would have been 10 years ago.
Are they reinforcements for Sanders, or are they actually coming for him sooner or later?
I don't know. You know, Bernie, it's not as though he's going to be, you never know. I got to give him credit for his pluck. You know, he had a heart attack and has been doing better than ever in the presidential race. But I was going to say, you know, 20 years from now, 10 years from now, he's not going to be the sort of national figure that he is now. So, and they've, you know, they endorsed him. They're one of the reasons he got some spring back in a step after his health scare, is because AOC and two of the others endorsed him. So they're broadly part of the movement, and Bernie is the leader for now, but won't be forever.
Do you think that the Democratic Party has completely written off social conservatives?
Yes.
Why have they done that?
Well, there's been kind of a sorting of the two parties. So Republicans over the last couple decades have been shedding college-educated whites and making up with them with working class whites who just sort of have a more grounded sort of culturally conservative attitudes, even if they're not evangelicals or hardcore social conservatives. So the constituency of the Democratic Party has become more monochromatically liberal on social issues, and the opposite has been true of the Republican Party. Plus, the Democratic Party, just geographically, partly as a product of this shifting that we've seen, has become more coastal, and to be more coastal is also to have more progressive attitudes on social issues. And part of this is just taking a dim view of the kind of people who believe in guns and are skeptical or opposed to abortion. And, you know, we saw it most notoriously in Hillary Clinton's dismissal of Trump supporters as deplorables, which is really a perfect word for how a lot of the Democratic Party now views social conservatives.
Finally, has the Buttigieg campaign responded to the criticism? And if not, how should they respond to the criticism?
I'm not sure whether I haven't seen a response, but a appropriate response, in my view, just would be a complete dismissiveness about this charge and a total lack of defensiveness about an act that 90% of Americans would recognize as an admirable one, just devoting some of your time to helping raise money for this amazing organization.
Rich Lowry is editor of National Review, commentator for the Fox News Channel, and author of a recent column titled The Disgraceful Campaign Against the Salvation Army. You will find his columns under the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Rich, thanks.
Hey, thanks much.
Ross Douthat joins us on the other side of the break. He's op-ed columnist for the New York Times. He has written recently a column titled, Are Liberals Against Marriage? We'll have him answer that question next.
What if your mother gets Alzheimer's, Wesley? And because she has Alzheimer's, you're not able to do as much writing as you used to do or as much traveling for public speaking as you used to do. Don't you think she should have a duty to die?
Wesley Smith, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
I went through that very thing. And hell no, is my answer. Hell no, my mother didn't have a duty to die. I had a duty to take care of her. That is a Christian duty, and it's also a human duty. And if we ever lose sight of that fact, the duty to die will be the least of our problems.
You can listen to Wesley Smith's presentation, Making the Case for the Hippocratic Oath, on a recording from the 2019 Making the Case Conference. For a year-end tax-deductible contribution of $300, we'll send it to you, along with a recording of 15 Advent and Christmas hymns. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Ed Crusum offers Bible-based, Christ-focused Christmas ornaments in various sizes for church and home. Use our Jesse Tree collection to teach your children this Advent and see our new premium ornaments, a crucifixion tableau, angel and shepherds, the Holy Family, Epiphany, and much more. Visit adcrusum.com for unique and theologically sound greeting cards, jewelry, gifts, churchwares, banners, certificates, and housewares. That's adcrusum.com.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran liberal arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/calla. That's C-A-L-L-A.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.